Hello, everybody, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Tap Into the Truth. Hope everybody out there is having a fantastic day, wherever you are, whatever you may be doing, whoever you are, wherever you may be doing it. With you, as always, this is your host, Tim Tapp, coming to you live from historic Roane County, Tennessee, broadcasting here. It's been a while since I've been on Spreaker. Actually, I've been focusing on the Sunday broadcast that I do over at BTR. And in fact, I mentioned that specifically because I want to let everybody who's listening know, please pay attention, tune in to this upcoming Sunday's broadcast. I'm very excited about it. I have not one, but two of the top conservative talk show hosts, according to toptalkradio.com, coming on the broadcast. Number one is Mr. Rod Eccles of The Rod Eccles Show. He is actually coming back for a second appearance on Tap Into the Truth, and very happy to have him coming on. We're going to see what new exciting news is going on in regards to his show as it continues to grow and he's gaining market share. And then after that, we'll have Josh Bernstein. And if you haven't been listening to Josh Bernstein, I just have to continue to ask you, why not? You really need to. You're missing out. He has unquestionably, undoubtedly had some of the best coverage of the Hillary Clinton email private server scandal that anybody has done. The most in-depth, the most fact-filled. He has actually surpassed, in my opinion, surpassed the efforts of Mark Levin and Sean Hannity, who are probably the two who have done the best job next to him. Josh has done a much better job. So I'm very excited to be getting an opportunity to talk to him. I've been listening to Josh since his early broadcast days at BTR as part of Grit and Grace. Was actually a guest on the same show that he was right before he really launched heavy into his own solo show. And I'm really excited about an opportunity to speak to him, and we will be talking about Hillary Clinton. And as things continue, we'll probably touch on the 2016 presidential election as far as how everything is playing out so far. And then after that, I have yet a third guest with the possibility of a fourth, Mr. Ken Crow, co-founder of TeaPartyCommunity.com, will be coming on, and we will be discussing Donald Trump. More specifically, what I'm going to try to get to is why so many Tea Party type folks have seemed to have latched on to Donald is that Donald really doesn't seem to fit, in my mind, the typical Tea Party stamp of approval kind of candidate. I myself, well, I've been a little critical of the Trump campaign to this point, and nobody can argue the success he has, but the man's a salesman. And he knows how to sell himself. He certainly knows about branding. And I still have qualms and concerns in regards to considering him a serious candidate, especially for the Republican nomination, because of how many relatively recent changes to his policy and mindset that he has expressed. But we'll get into that, and we'll go even further into it. We'll talk with Ken, and Ken has promised me the possibility of bringing somebody else along with him onto the show, so it would be a surprise, and would be newsworthy. So, Ken has never disappointed in the past when he's been on, and I think we can take him at his word. And so, I'm inviting you right now to check us out live at the Sunday broadcast, which begins at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over at BTR. If you have any questions or concerns or trying to find it, you can find links to that broadcast either at the BTR page. You can look up Tap Into the Truth there, or you can find the tapintothetruth.com. I'll be posting links to it there, as well as links and events are listed at teapartycommunity.com, at freedomworks.org, and also on Facebook. So you can find in the events section, or just look up my personal page, Tim Tapp, not hard to find on Facebook, and then you can easily backtrack and find the links there, or check out Tap Into the Truth Facebook page. links will be available there as well. I'm inviting you all. I think it'll be well worth the listens because these guys are great. I'm going to sit back and let them do most of the talking. And these guys are, well, they're pretty good at it. Like I said, Rod and Josh are two of the top 100 top talkers in conservative talk radio, according to toptalkradio.com. They monitor it. They coalesce it. It's, you know, they know what they're doing too. So tune in. Check it out. Now, let's get into the meat and potatoes of tonight's show, shall we? First and foremost, like I mentioned, I am just getting back here to the Spreaker, and I'll probably upload this over to BTR later. So when you're listening to BTR or you're listening later at iTunes or at Stitcher.com or Blueberry or wherever you find this podcast, and you know that this is coming off of a BTR feed instead of a Stitcher feed, well, that'll be the reason why. I'm going to upload it there as well, and every place the show goes, you're going to be able to find it. So just don't be surprised when it comes across that. Now, what I really want to talk about, I'm going to touch on the Jared thing, because to me, this is a jumping point for a much bigger and a far more important conversation that we need to be having. And again, I tend to focus on U.S. politics on this show. I tend to think nationally. But in all reality, everything I'm going to say, even though I may direct it at just this country, and I know there's a great international following here at Spreaker. In fact, I see that in my statistics. I see that when I'm looking at the geolocations. Got listeners all over the world, throughout Europe, throughout Asia, in Africa. And while I'm on that topic, I want to go ahead and thank everybody who does indeed listen. This really is a worldwide topic, so if I say something that sounds limited, understand it's only because I'm in the habit of talking a certain way. But this really is intended worldwide. So let's get into it. I think I said that already, but let's go. First and foremost, let's actually talk about what's going on with Jared Fogle. In case you've been under a rock and haven't heard, Jared Fogle, the ex-Subway pitchman, has been paying kids for sex, in particular on New York trips. This according to prosecutors, and he has went ahead and pled guilty at this point. And I'm pretty angry about this. A little more angry than I am ordinarily when a story like this happens, because a lot of you may have actually heard me kind of defend Jared when the authorities first showed up at his house. I didn't defend him in direct contrast, but I did defend him in a fashion of so much as saying, let's not jump to conclusions, let's not get ahead of ourselves, let's wait till the information, let's wait till the facts come out, because we already knew at this point that the man Jared had hired, I don't remember now for sure if he's actually was the head guy running the Jared Foundation or if he was just somebody high up helping Jared. Those details, I don't recall right at the moment. I don't have it in front of me. But either way, we know that this gentleman, I probably shouldn't call him that, this guy had already been arrested and prosecuted at this point on child pornography charges. So my point then was, this still could be nothing more than collecting of more evidence. And that even if child pornography was to show up on Jared's computers at home, it would be entirely possible that it may be there where this other guy had come in and used the computers there at Jared's house. So Mr. Fogle, I gave the benefit of the doubt at that point in time, and I said, point blank, let's wait till the facts come out. Well, now that the facts are coming out, like I said, I am probably a little more angrier than I would have been if I hadn't publicly come out and said anything. So I'm a little mad at myself, but I stand by the idea and I stand by the principle of waiting till the facts come out. Jumping to conclusions is normally a bad idea. When it comes to anything where an investigation is ongoing, we know very little of the facts surrounding the circumstance. And that's the only way they can conduct an effective and thorough investigation, is keeping the public at bay for the most part. That doesn't mean that you don't have a right to know the facts after the fact. And in this particular case, it is upsetting, it is angering, and it is disgusting. According to Rick Height, Indianapolis police chief, he was quoted as saying, "We're dealing with a celebrity who had the access, power, and resources to do anything he wanted to do in the world. But he chose to utilize that to cajole, convince, and even take advantage of children." Assistant U.S. Attorney Stevens DeBrada said that Fogel used his trips to New York on behalf of both Subway and his Jared Foundation to seek out child prostitutes. Prosecutors allege that Fogel knew that the pornography he received had been secretly produced by the former director of his charitable foundation, which sought to raise awareness about childhood obesity and arranged for Fogel to visit schools and urge children to adopt healthy eating and exercise habits. Fogel agreed this past Wednesday to plead guilty to allegations that he paid for sex with girls as young as 16 and received child pornography. The case already has destroyed his career with the sandwich shop chain, aka Subway, and could send him to prison for more than a decade. He pled guilty to soliciting sex with girls as young as 16, but according to some reports, credible reports, I might add, although still not verified by me, so I'm going to be real careful about this. But according to some reports, he sought sex with girls as young as 11. That he, in fact, did engage in sexual activity with some girls as young as 14. Made lewd and corrupt statements about middle school aged children, young girls. Now, this is disturbing on multiple levels. First of all, Jared was a family man, in so much as he had a family. In fact, he has two minor children, which he is no longer going to be allowed to have unsupervised visits with, and rightfully so, I might add, as terms of his plea agreement. He had a wife. He had access and celebrity enough that he could have had as much consensual sex with young women of consensual age as he chose. That's the thing about where our culture has gotten in this country. We live in a culture where celebrity can get you just about whatever you want, no matter what you're famous for. Jared Fogel's story that brought him to the forefront, that made him the front man for Subway sandwiches, is an inspiring story, and he had the ability and the position to literally inspire millions to live a healthier lifestyle. He literally had hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, young people in particular, that did look up to him, that was holding him up as a role model. And then, what he does with his fame, with his celebrity, he parlays it into the Jared Foundation, and he does what seems to be good works. And the whole time, he exposes himself to younger and younger children. And the whole time, he eventually allows himself to be corrupted to the point of taking advantage of this opportunity. Now, whether this proclivity of his towards underage girls, minors, children, was something that had existed in him for some time, or something that was introduced to him and he was seduced by it, that I don't know. We may never know. And it doesn't really matter which. What does matter is that he did allow this proclivity to come to fruition, and that he used both money and fame to get what he wanted when it came to taking advantage of these children. Now, Jared is going to go to jail. Jared will never get to do a Subway sandwich commercial again. The Jared Foundation will probably go away. Now, hopefully, the framework and the good work that was being done will be continued in some fashion. They'll change the name, new people will take over, and it will continue. That's what I hope. Because they were doing good work, the foundation itself. But whether or not it rebrands and moves forward under new leadership or just falls away, that remains to be seen. But in either case, there's no one to blame but Jared and his former associate. But as Jared goes away, as Jared goes to jail, nothing's solved. Because, you see, the root of what led him to take these actions still exists. Our society still has a ton of problems that takes us to this point. And this is all part of a successive and progressive assault on our children. And this is something that goes on worldwide. We're targeted here in the United States because of who we are and what we are. But this isn't something that just happens in the United States. Children are under assault everywhere. Our culture and similar Western cultures have a hypersexualized view of children these days. We think it's cute when our 3-year-old little girls are shaking their booty to hip-hop music. And we encourage them by laughing and pointing and saying, hey, do that again in front of our friends. We have toys in the popular big box stores that dress up dolls, making them look like they're little prostitutes. And then think it's cute when our 10, 11, and 12-year-olds dressed in a similar fashion, saying, oh, you look hot. And then we still shake our heads and wonder when they're 15 and 16 and come home and say, Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant. And that's assuming they get to say Mom and Dad. A lot of broken homes where there's not a strong role model of both man and woman in the house. This is what it means to be a strong, independent woman. This is what it means to be a strong man. This is the idea of manhood you should be seeking for. We don't have that in our culture anymore. But the hypersexual idea, mentality, the over-sexualization, sexting among minors, which is also the transfer of child pornography, by the way, and can and does get charged on occasion, should be more often. We have let our kids go down this path either through lack of personal involvement or because we're not asking the right questions when we have the opportunity. We're not setting the right example when we have the right opportunity. That falls on parents. Parents need to do more. Some of you are doing great. Some of you, not so much. And I'm not saying be perfect. I'm not saying it's all your fault. But I am saying, for some of you listening who are parents and are not involved in a positive, healthy fashion in your child's life, you need to take a look at it. I try to evaluate myself every day. I have my own shortcomings, so understand I'm not sitting here throwing rocks, living in the glass house. I recognize I too have work to do. What I'm trying to do right now is awaken you to your responsibilities. And then if you're not a parent, but you are somebody that thinks these other things that I mentioned are cute or cool or fun, then you have a responsibility too. We see it on television. We hear it on the radio. We have embraced a culture that sees sex as a commodity as opposed to a spiritual union. We have a moral corruption in this country and in the majority of Western civilization as a whole that has left us prizing sexual conquest over love. Prizing sexual conquest over intimacy. This has been part of the progressive attack on the Western civilization, especially those that believe in personal liberty. But our children, make no mistake, have been under attack from the far left and from eugenicists and from sexual predators for some time now. Only we no longer seem to be standing up and standing guard at the door. We're letting these ideas and this perversiveness come through the gate. We're allowing our children to be exposed to it, not just in a fashion of, see, this is what it looks like, this is what you need to stay away from, but instead, hey, look at this, isn't that cool? Let's embrace it. Where we have done that, we have done a disservice to our children. We have done a disservice to the next generation. So whether you're talking about Jared Fogle or the next sexual predator that comes along, whether you're talking about horrible media influences, whether it's music, movies, television, or even if you're talking about organizations like Planned Parenthood that's engaged in the wholesale mass slaughter of unborn children. The assault is ongoing. So it's time, ladies and gentlemen, men and women, boys and girls, it's time for us to put aside whatever political differences we may have, to put aside whatever ideological differences we may have, and recognize the fact that it is time for us to stand up, stand together, and stand in defense of our children, born or unborn, victims already, or children marked to be the next victim. We need to do this. We need to demand higher standards of ourselves, so that we can be the example that we want our children to see. And this counts if you're just an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent. It counts if you're just a friend of the family who wants to be a positive role model, even if you don't realize that that's what you want to do yet. The time has come. We must unite on this simple front. We need to do away with human trafficking. We need to do away with child prostitution. Because as bad as what Jared did is, the people that took money to hook him up with minor children are inhuman beasts as well. We need to take a stand when it comes to abortion mills like Planned Parenthood. If I hear one more person, by the way, talk about all the great services Planned Parenthood provides for women, I'm going to throw up. Because the only great service they provide is the fact that they're an abortion mill. The overwhelming majority of services Planned Parenthood claims to provide is really nothing more than referrals to other locations. Referrals of which people, even the poor, could get from their local clinic. Most of the services being provided are referrals to the local clinics. How many licensed mammogram facilities does Planned Parenthood run worldwide? Care to take a guess? I'll make it easy for you. It's less than one, but more than negative one. In fact, it's right in the middle. Zero, none, nada. They claim mammography and cancer detection and breast health to be one of the major components in what they provide for women's services. They say this. It's in their propaganda. But read it. Read the written versions of the propaganda. Listen carefully to the spin from people that actually represent and speak for Planned Parenthood. And you listen to how they say it and what they're not saying and what's inferred but not said out loud is that they provide a service in that regard in so much as they give you a referral. That's all they do. The minute, the second, the instant Planned Parenthood got into the business of providing abortions, tax dollars from the United States citizens should have been pulled. So when you hear a candidate talking about defunding Planned Parenthood, that should have already happened. Anybody that wants to stand up and fight and say the $500 million in taxpayer money that they get every year should continue, you need to take a long, hard look at. And when it comes to a candidate like Hillary Clinton, who said that Margaret Sanger is one of her heroes, one of the people she looks up to the most in history, a professed and known eugenicist that created Planned Parenthood, and this is in her own words, for the express purpose of eliminating the black race, mental defectives, and, well, for controlling the number of the poor. So in other words, if you made below a certain economic level for your income, you could be perfectly healthy, perfectly normal, and just being a struggling individual, and you were still somebody that wasn't worthy to live in Margaret Sanger's world. And that's who Hillary Clinton thinks is a hero. Ladies and gentlemen, the answer is simple. Whatever your religion, whatever your faith, whatever your path, the answer to this is God. So what I'm asking you to do right now, boys and girls, men and women, ladies and gentlemen, talk to your kids every day. Listen to your kids. Be involved in a healthy fashion in their life. But more importantly than that, pray with your kids. More important than even that, pray for your kids. And then while we're at it, pray for everyone else's kids too. Not just here in the States, but worldwide, because they need it. So for me, the Jared Fogle story is a jumping off point to look at the reality of what our culture and what our inaction is doing to the next generation. Planned Parenthood had yet the 7th video released about their activities, and they have been in so much limelight because of these videos. It's been a good thing, because I have had conversations with people who have always been pro-choice, as they like to put it, almost militantly so, who have seen these videos and it's resonated in their heart, and it has softened them up to the idea that maybe Planned Parenthood needs to be shut down. And that's a first step. That's a first step towards getting them to admit that, okay, well, maybe let's, I'm not trying to push too hard, too fast. But I have heard one person, individual in particular, that has always been militant, yes, abortion all the time, on demand, everybody's right, blah, blah, blah. She watched this and she came to me and she very timidly said to me that, you know what, Tim, I think maybe I was wrong. It's easy to sit back and talk about a woman's right to control what happens to her body and a matter of personal privacy when you don't see the horrific things that are going on. The big headlines that have come from this 7th video release is people are talking about the fact that in this one particular instant, a fetus was removed whole, and that you could still see the heart beating just before it died. And then they cut into the face of this fetus to retrieve brain tissue. And this is just another day at the office for these people. They are horrific eugenicist monsters. They don't even deserve to be called people or human, because human beings don't do that. Only monsters. They still get plenty of private funding. They do not need, nor do they deserve, government funding. And I'll go beyond that. The minute they got into the abortion business, they should have been denied any further funds from the government. Because, again, one of the hardest points I've ever had trying to get people to understand, the United States government has $0 of its own. It's giving away money that it has taken from citizens. And the overwhelming majority of citizens in this country have a moral objection to abortion in general. And under no circumstance should money taken from me or any other person that feels the same way ever be used to pay for something that we morally object to. We have a right of conscience, and we have a right to express our religious views. Life begins at conception. Even the argument of controlling your own body. A woman has a right to control her own body. Yes, she does. But once she has a baby growing inside her, that baby is not her body. It's just in there. Her control should have been in the effort to prevent the pregnancy in the first place if she's not ready for a baby. Oh, but heaven forbid that we should talk about morals. Heaven forbid that we should talk about the fact that there are reasons why you got pregnant and you made mistakes. And we can talk about incest. We can talk about rape. Okay. That is a different set of circumstances. And maybe, maybe there should be a different set of rules involved there. I don't have all the answers. I don't pretend to. And I'm not insensitive to situations. But abortion on demand for the simple purpose of birth control is abhorrent, immoral. It is wrong. You are murdering a child at its most innocent, at its most helpless. Period. End of that discussion. Now I want to go ahead and switch gears. I'm going to take a little break, though, so I can get the sour taste and the anger out of my system. And we'll come back and we're going to talk a little bit about birthright citizenship. So, if you'll indulge me, stay with me, and I'll be right back. Hey guys, this is Tim Tapp, and I just want to ask you to please check out tapintothetruth.com, T-A-P-P, intothetruth.com. While you're at it, check out the show's Facebook page and our Twitter account. Please feel free to like the Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, and to see exactly what's going on when you're tapping into the truth. After all, you do have to expect to put in a little effort, and I do ask you to use your brain. But in the end, it is, it's what's best for you. Don't take my word for it. Tap into the truth. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for staying with me through the break. With you as always, this is Tim Tapp, and this is Tap Into the Truth. Gotta tell you, this birthright citizenship issue is really taking front and center. And I definitely want to have a conversation about it. And not just because Donald Trump has brought it up. But because, actually, we've talked about it on this show before. In fact, we've had an episode here at Spreaker, and I've talked about it at length on the Sunday show at BTR. And I've been saying for some time that when you actually read the 14th Amendment, it's pretty obvious, pretty clear that the whole anchor baby phenomenon
Although, I shouldn't say that. According to certain reporters at ABC News, that's offensive. I'm offended by reporters using the word offensive in regards to phrases that aren't offensive. Okay, so I'm really offended right now by ABC News. Who knew? Ultimately, here's the deal. In case, for some reason, you're not aware of what's going on, part of Donald Trump's immigration plan that he released this past week involves ending birthright citizenship. The United States is one of just a few countries nationwide, and there's a link to this information on the Tap Into the Truth Facebook page if you're interested. But we're one of the few countries that actually offer birthright citizenship. Normally, there's more involved than just being born here to make you a citizen. For most other countries. But the excuse that's always been used is the 14th Amendment, because they want you to believe that there is a constitutional definition of what is a natural-born citizen. The fact that there seems to be confusion over this is mind-boggling, because when you read it, there's only a little bit of room for interpretation at all. And ultimately, if you want to get the truth of what's going on with something like that, well, what you do is you look back at the author and what they tell you was the intent. Now, for those of you who aren't aware of the 14th Amendment very much, you need a little history background, although probably more people know more about the 14th Amendment now because of this conversation than ever before. But then there's probably still a ton of people that aren't paying any attention. So here's the background in case you need it. Because I learned a long time ago to stop assuming that everybody knows everything that I did. Truthfully, most of the people that listen to this show, I believe, probably already know this. But I know that there are also always new listeners, and maybe some of you don't. So here goes. 14th Amendment essentially was designed as one of the post-Reconstruction amendments. It was designed to help reunify the South into the Union. But the idea was, in this particular case, to prevent southern states from treating former slaves as less than citizens. So they decided to define what citizenship is. Now, the 14th Amendment actually has five different sections, but only the first two sections apply to this argument at all. In fact, for the most part, it's just the first section. And the long and the short of it is, it's any person born in the United States of people who are under the jurisdiction of the United States are natural-born citizens. And then it also goes on to say that they are entitled to equal protection under the law. That's where the concept of equal protection comes from. Now, I'm paraphrasing, because I'm not reading it here. But if you want to know more, what I really recommend you do is actually look it up for yourself. Guess what? If you're listening to this show, chances are you're online. Google is just a few mouse clicks away. Pull it up and read it for yourself. This was intended to prevent former slaves from being treated as less than citizens. And to let every southern state know that if you try to pass legislation, or if you ignore the rights and privileges that are afforded other citizens, well, then you're violating the Constitution, and there will be repercussions. That's the idea. You gotta treat the former slaves like you do anybody else. It even goes on to explain that this does not apply to diplomats and foreign workers. The reason why? Well, those diplomats are foreign nationals and they're here. And there would be occasion they realized and recognized that they may have their wives with them and they may give birth to children while they're here. But if the parents were not under the jurisdiction of the United States government or under the jurisdiction of the local government, wherever they were at, state or municipality or whatever, and there was no intent on becoming a citizen, well, then citizenship should not automatically be bestowed. In fact, we had a great conversation about this. I actually did read the amendment, or at least Section A and B, if I remember correctly. This was several months ago on the Sunday show. And I had a caller call in, and I thought they were probably a law student, was the impression I got, because they started reading case law and explained that the 14th Amendment has never, as far as the legal system is concerned, been the rationale behind birthright citizenship. It's actually been just a matter of case law based on one federal judge's interpretation of what the jurisdiction actually means. But every legal scholar is in agreement that when it comes down to the phrasing of jurisdiction, that means Congress has the legal authority to define who does and does not fall under the jurisdiction. So, for the people that claim that this would require an amendment to change or to undo the 14th Amendment, they're either terribly misunderstanding law, which is possible, or they're flat out lying to you because they're trying to gin up anti-Donald Trump sentiment. Because while Donald is at the forefront of this, several other would-be Republican candidates have stood up in support of this. So truthfully, when you read the Constitution, you're going to hear some people read the first part of that, leave out the jurisdiction part, and disclaim, it says here in the Fourth Amendment, if you're born here, you're a citizen. That's not what it says, ladies and gentlemen. It's inherent on you to do your own research and use your brain, and you decide. But you decide knowing the facts and seeing them for yourself. Don't take somebody else's word for it on this. Bottom line here is, when it comes to an illegal alien, and I still find myself occasionally saying undocumented worker, but usually I'm just making fun of leftists when I do. It's a phrase that is unfair, and it's terribly offensive to me, because it's terribly offensive to a couple of my friends who have immigrated here legally from Mexico, and they're ready to bust heads when they run into illegals. It makes them so angry that these people jumped ahead of them, jumped to the head of the line, didn't do the things that it takes to get here legally, and they did. They get angrier about it than some of my redneck friends that live down the road here. It would be funny if it wasn't so freaking sad, the fact that we live in a country where that could happen. But read it for yourself. The truth of the matter is, if you're an illegal, if you don't have documentation, if you don't have a legal status, then you still owe an allegiance to your citizenship from whatever country you did come. So you're not fully and completely under the jurisdiction of the United States. So then if you come here and have a child here, as the Constitution's 14th Amendment reads right then and there, just having the child there does not. It does not impart automatic citizenship to you.
I'll stand up and make that argument all day long, and I've talked to constitutional scholars on the Sunday broadcast, and they have told me the same thing. Even ones that are a little left-leaning, and I don't normally have too many of those on the show, but I do occasionally try to keep it balanced. And I've had callers call in from leftist, well, not leftist so much, but they think of themselves as progressive. I tend to think they probably are just adopting the word and don't realize that the progressives are a nasty group. And by virtue of them being reasonable and, I guess, cordial, and being willing to discuss calmly the topics with somebody that's a little more conservative, they're not really progressive. They may be classic liberals, but they're not progressive. Because progressives are all about shouting you down. At any rate, the bottom line is as it reads, without interpretation and looking at case law, as it sits, I'll make the argument all day long. An illegal doesn't have legal status here. Without the citizenship here, they are still fully citizens of another country. As such, and with no legal standing here, they do not fall completely under the jurisdiction of the United States. It can only be extended in so much as they are criminally present within our borders and are subject to our immigration laws. That is the extent of the jurisdiction the United States has over them. So if you are here illegally and you have a baby, the 14th Amendment doesn't promise crap to you. And it has been a matter of case law, and I wish for the life of me I could remember the case. It was in California, and I can't think of it right now. I actually did have that in front of me a little while ago, and unfortunately my computer crashed, and I haven't been able to pull that back up yet. But the truth of the matter is, no matter what anybody else is telling you, the 14th Amendment does not automatically guarantee you citizenship just because you're born here, especially if your parents are foreign nationals. But whether you accept my argument of the jurisdiction, which is clearly says that, or not, it is clear that Congress can legally define who does and does not fall under its jurisdiction. So it would not require another constitutional amendment to change the 14th Amendment or to add a new amendment to nullify it, repeal it, or anything of that nature. The 14th Amendment would still be just as binding if Congress simply passes a law that gets signed into law. You got to pass a bill, and the president's got to sign it. And that'd be good enough. So Donald Trump is right on this. Ted Cruz is right on this. Ben Carson is right on this. I'm sure several others have jumped in to some degree or another. And as long as they're saying birthright citizenship is not guaranteed by the 14th Amendment, they are telling you the truth. But, as I've already said several times, and I'm very fond of saying, don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to put in a little effort. Do your own research. Use your brain. And always be prepared to have to work just a little bit if you really want to dig beneath the surface and tap into the truth. That's going to be it for tonight, everybody. Thanks for listening. Hope you're ready to join me again Sunday. Remember, this upcoming Sunday, it's going to be great. Three guests, two of the top 100 conservative talk show hosts, according to toptalkradio.com. Rod Eccles is going to be on. Josh Bernstein is going to be on. We're going to have a serious conversation with Josh. And then after that, we're going to have Ken Crow. The same Ken Crow that writes for The Crow's Nest, A View from the Right. He's a contributor. He is heavily involved in the campaigns in Iowa, and he is co-founder of TeaPartyCommunity.com. And by the way, they're not a sponsor of mine, but I have often mentioned TeaPartyCommunity.com on this show, especially over here at Spreaker. If you're conservative and you like Facebook, but you want to find a social media outlet that they're not going to criticize you for being conservative, you're not going to have to put up with a whole bunch of the insanity of the trolls from the lefty loons that like to attack you on Facebook, then please, if you haven't already, check out TeaPartyCommunity.com. I think you'll like it. I'm over there. Have been for a while. I was one of the earlier members, and I have enjoyed it the entire time I've been there. And like I said, if you're looking for links to check out Sunday Show Live, please don't forget 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be getting started. And it's going to be a great show. These guys are going to be informative. We're going to talk about the hottest stories of the week with Rod. We're going to talk about Hillary Clinton, the email server scandal with Josh. And we are going to talk about why so many Tea Party folks seem to be flocking to Donald Trump when Ken joins us. And like I said, Ken has promised possibly having a surprise extra guest come on with him. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually excited, and I hope you'll join us. That's live Sunday, 3 p.m. Don't be afraid to join us late, but guess what? You can find the podcast after the fact, too. I'll be posting links to that like crazy. Check out tapintothetruth.com. Check out Tap Into the Truth Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, personally, if you like. You can check out my personal Facebook page, too. Love to get feedback. Love to hear from you guys. Want to know what you're doing. And like I said, I'm out of here tonight, guys. Going to play a couple of songs, laying it out. First of all, Miracle from my friend Cash Islow. And then the typical sign out of It's Not Goodbye. Because it's not goodbye. It's just see you soon. In fact, I'll see you Sunday. I'm out.
Thank you.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the miracle is coming. We can still save the Republic together. And remember, as always, this is not goodbye.
Heartbreak, but it